dritte Mishnah in the bottom of Samachemet Beis, that if a person instructs for a get to be given, so depending on what his nusach is, it's going to affect whether the agent can actually go ahead and deliver the get proper. If all he says is just to write a get, so then they're authorized to write a get, but they're not authorized to deliver the get. If he explicitly says to deliver the get, then obviously they can deliver the get as well. But then the Mishnah drew a distinction. What if you have a person who's under a very stressful situation, either because he's being taken out to be killed, or he's getting onto a long ship, going on a long boat ride, or he's going out into the desert, so he may not be thinking clearly. So such a person, when he says to write a get, it's obvious from the context that he meant not just to write it, he meant to actually deliver it as well. So there's a certain degree of, depending on where the person's up to, what the context of the command is. So with this background, the Gemara tells a story on the bottom of Samachim Beis, by the beginning of the Gemara, three lines at the bottom. Geneva Yaitu Bekar Lahava. So there was an individual, his name was Geneva. So Geneva, the Gemara has some interesting stories about him. We had him all the way back at the end of the third parak. The Gemara says, the one hand, he was a Tamil Chacham. On the other hand, he was a little bit of a Obama Chalikas. The Amorim had mixed opinions about him. So Geneva, Lamais, unfortunately, had a very sad end, that he was taken out to by the Goyim, and he was going to be killed. He was held prisoner, and then he was eventually taken out to be killed. So Geneva Yetzbe Kalahava. So he was being taken out. Kihava Konofik, as they were taking him out, so he gave his last will testament. He gave his last words of a tzavah. So Amr, he said, Havu arba me'azuze Rabbi Avida mechamer de Narpanya. So he said that I have a lot of wine, barrels of wine, in a place called Narpanya. And he said, give 400 zuz. 400 zuz is quite a nice amount. But the Gemara says that you need about 200 zuz to live on for your entire year. That's what the Mishnah says. If a person has 200 zuz, so then they're not allowed to take tzedakah because they have enough to support themselves for the entire year. So 400 zuz is a significant sum. So he said, give 400 zuz of wine to Rabbi Avina from the wine that's sitting in our panya. So the problem is he just said it. He didn't do any more than that. He didn't make an actual formal kinyan. And the question becomes, what, if anything, is binding from his words? So Amr Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira said the following, at the top of Sefer Brachot and Aleph, says, Dara Rabbi Avina was silte. It would be worth it for Rabbi Avina, if he wants to receive that very, very nice gift of wine, it would be said in a little bit of a dramatic way, it would be worth it for Rabbi Avina to take his basket, put it on his shoulder, and for Ozul Gabi Rav Huna Rabbi, he should go visit Rav Huna, his Rabbi, because there's a halacha that Rav Huna taught. It's actually going to be helpful for him if he wants to actually retrieve this wine up the halacha. So one can imagine that the Yoshim of Geneva weren't so thrilled to be giving him this $400, 400 zuzim worth of wine. So Rabbi Zera said that if Rabbi Avina knows it's good for him, he would go visit his Rabbi. And they'll find out, get a psach from Rav Huna as to why he, in fact, would be entitled to this wine. What in the world did Rav Huna say? The other Rav Huna, Gito Kimatenoso. Rav Huna made an equation, and he said that a get that is authorized by somebody who is a shchibra meaning the person sick, laying in bed, end of his life. So a get that's authorized by a shchibra has certain similarities in halacha to the matana, to a gift that is authorized by a shchibra. What are some of the similarities? Mama tenoso imam and chayzer. But the whole sugya in the end of the basra about a special din called matna shchibra, when a person gives a gift at the end of his life, or he thinks it's the end of his life, and then he has a four shlema, so then he can back out from that gift because it's evidence, obvious from the context, that the only reason why he was giving such a large gift was because he thought he was no longer going to be alive. And he realizes that he survived, and he's not such a not such a nice guy anymore. So he has a right to back out. So just as a matana, a person can back out, avgito im amel chayzer, so to a get, that if the person authorized the giving of a get, so once he survives, he authorized to give him a get because he was going to die. Then the second he survives, then you have to throw out the question whether that authorization is still valid. So Rav Huna equated some of the halachas of a get for a shchemira and some of the halachas of a matana for a shchemira. But that's not the part that's relevant for the story. The part that's relevant is the following. Umagito, and just as a get, afa gavlu parish, even though he didn't spell out to actually deliver the get, that's the case in that Mishnah, he simply authorized the Edom to write the get, but it's muvan me'elav, it's self-evident that afagav lo parish, kevud amakisvu, once he said to write the get, afagav lo amatunu, even though he didn't say to give it, because the context of his being sick clearly points in the direction that that's what his intent is. So we can borrow that equation of Ravuna and say, Af matanoso, so to the gift of Ishchidura, came under Amatnu, as long as he said to give the wine, Afa Gavlo Konamine, even though there was no formal kinyan. So just as we're changing the rules a little bit for Ishchidura vis-a-vis Gittin, because it's clear from context what he wants to do, so too, vis-a-vis Kinyonim and Matonis Mishchimira, we're going to let you get away with, even though you didn't actually make a formal Kinyon. So Maskin for Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi asked the question, if you're really going to take this to the extreme, Ima Matona Yeshali Achamisa, Avget Yeshali Achamisa? So Rabbi Abba said, obviously that equation is not 100% accurate, because if so, you can be led to the conclusion that just as a matana can sometimes be given that takes effect after he dies, the matana shchimira has the ability to take hold as the person dies or the minute after the person dies, so the matana will be valid. Normally, matanas cannot be given liachamisa, but a matana shchimira can. So you're going to tell me that a get can be given liachamisa. You're going to tell me that a guy can say he's authorized the giving of the get that should take effect the second after he dies? Well, that's ridiculous. We have Mishnayis back in the first parak. So obviously you see that the rules are not exactly the same. So the Gemara says, no, hachi hashta. That's not a proof. Mishnah matana is le'achamisa. Get le'achamisa be'ika. The Gemara says that that's a technical quirk, that a matana can theoretically be chal le'achamisa. A get le'achamisa is no way. That's out of the question. It doesn't undermine the equation. The equation is fundamentally correct. So if the equation is fundamentally correct, then we're back into business that if a person said he wants to give this 400 zuzim worth of wine, even though no formal kinyan was made, since the context of the being a shchibira was evident, that's what he meant to do. So Gemara says, the real question Rabbi Abba was chepering was, Rabbi Abba had the following objection to the story. Rabbi Abba chakashulei. Rabbi Abba didn't like this matana. He didn't think that this matana was valid because...
Focusing on the Kenyan aspect, but it's the Sira aspect that's really the machlokas. Because a matana from a dead person is sort of like his little testament. Because you need the person to give, you need the physical entity of the person to be divorced from them. So it's Metzius from the beginning, not from the end.
But that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what the Gemara is drawing a distinction, saying that the fact that it's possible to have matana liachamisa doesn't indicate anything about the connection between Gittin and Matanas. Vis-a-vis that prat, they're for sure different. There's no shaila that you can't have a get liachamisa, as Rashi actually says in a few places. You can't have a get liachamisa because it's not the husband, they're not married anymore. Once he's dead, the game's over. So it would be ludicrous to talk about a get liachamisa. But in terms of other areas, they seem to be similar. So what Rabbi Abba didn't like about this matan of the wine was the following question. Rabbi Abba, Hachar Kashmir. Mat neshchimra b'miktsasi, umat neshchimra b'miktsas b'yakinyan. Rabbi Abba was referencing a Gemara in the ninth parak of Baba Basra. The Gemara says explicitly, the Mishnah actually, Baba Basra says, that when a person gives a matnash chimira, he's dying, he wants to start to divide a property to strangers. The Gemara says that normally you require a maisa kinyan to give over property, and here Chazal instituted to lift that requirement, that matnash chimira kichsuvim b'chim esurin dami. Anything that the chimira says is going to be binding. But the Gemara says that that's not 100% true. That's only true if he gives away all of his property. If he just starts to give away little pieces here and there, that's called the matnish chimra b'miktsas, and a matnish chimra b'miktsas taka b'ay kinyan. From the fact that the person is not giving away everything, so that shows that he's basically treating like a regular matana. Regular matana is going to be bound by the regular rules of kinyanim. So says the Gemara, it would appear from this story that mechlal de Rav Huna, who said that you don't require a kinyan, it sounds like Rav Huna holds low by a kinyan. That even a matnash chimra b'miktsas doesn't require a kinyan. Vakaymul, and the Gemara says that we paskit sugis of the ninth parak of Baba Basra to buy a kinyan. That of course it requires a kinyan. So the basic halach is when a person gives a matnas bari, gives a regular gift, he's a regular healthy person. Of course it requires a matnas kinyan. We're kinyanim and not chal with words alone. When there's a special takaras chachamim, if he's giving something because of his death, so then it doesn't require a kinyan. But that only makes sense if he's giving all his property away. If he's giving, no normal person gives all his property away unless he really expects it. He'll be dying in a minute. So the fact that he gave him matnash chimra bekula, That shows that he's going down the route of the special halacha matnas shemira, and therefore that kinyan does it is not necessary. But if it was about the shemira b'mitzas, then a kinyan would be necessary. So the Gemara says, what was the story with the with Rabbi Avina with the wine? Shani halacha the mitzava machmas misahu. Here he said explicitly, he's hereby giving the wine because he's dying. So it's not question. Of course, that's what he meant. Of course, he wants to go down the route of matnas shemira. So if a person doesn't say anything, guy's just laying in bed, he's sick, not doing too well, and he starts to divvy up his property and said, I'm going to give $100 to this guy, $20 to that guy. So that doesn't mean anything. That's not a matnas shemira. That's not a mitzav machmas misa. That's a regular gift. But if he gives away all his properties, obviously, that's a matnas shemira. Obviously, he's not planning on living anymore. He's not thinking he's going to live anymore. Or even if it's about the shimmer of a mitzvah, but he says, explicitly, I'm hereby about to die. This is what I want to happen, such, even though it's not the kula. So says the Gemara, Mechlaud Rabbi Abba Sova, and the fact that Rabbi Abba questioned that, it sounds like he holds with Tzava Machlas Misa by Kenyan, that even if it's spelled out that it's Machlas Misa, it also needs a Kenyan. That's not true, but Kaim alone to love by Kenyan. The Gemara in the ninth paragraph of the Master says that if it's spelled out explicitly Mishum Misa, then there's no need for a Kenyan. So what did Rabbi Abba want? So at the end of the day, the story happened. Gneva made his tzava, and Rabbi Zeira said everything is great, everything's wonderful. And Rabbi Abba is chepering on the story. What did Rabbi Abba want? Every fact of the story matches up. That if it was Mitzavah Machlas Misa, you don't need a Kenyan. So what did Rabbi Abba concerned with? Rabbi Abba Chakashalei. We totally misunderstood why Rabbi Abba didn't think that this case was valid. It had nothing to do with the details of yes, Kenyan, no Kenyan. He was bothered with the intricacies of the wording of the tzava. So if you go all the way back at the bottom of Sabachem Beis, the lashon that Gnevi used was he wants to give havu arba me'azuzeh Rabbi Avina mechamed narpanya. He said give 400 zuz to Rabbi Avina from the wine of narpanya. So Rabbi Abba says that's not a valid, that's a legal problem. That's a technical legal issue with the contract. What's the problem? But Rabbi Abba Chakashalei, Chamer l'Kamer, he didn't say to give the wine. If you notice, he said give $400 to Rabbi Avina from the wine. He didn't say anything about giving the wine itself. So what did he mean? The stubble what he meant was Chamer l'Kamer. Dnei Chamer l'Kamer. He didn't say to give the value of wine. He didn't say evaluate the wine and then write a $400 check, the value of the wine to Rabbi Avina. That's not what he said either. He said, basically, if you look at the words literally, what he said was, take wine and turn it into money. That's what he said. He didn't say sell the wine and drink. He said take wine and transform it to money. So he said, what he said is, turn the wine into money, which might say is not exactly physical, able to do that. So what did he mean, the idach? So how come the other Amoraim thought that the sale would be valid? They weren't so chepering on the exact lashon that he used. Mechamra, the reason why he said from the wine, deliapis is kocho. They wanted to make things better for the lekech, for Rabbi Avina. What it meant was that the wine should be like achrayas, that the wine should be around in case the person doesn't have the cash, or if he doesn't have the cash, give him the wine. So that's the reason why he spelled out for the wine. That was, in fact, the person's intent. So don't be such a stickler on the details and say, he didn't say to give exactly for that. That's what he meant. He meant, bottom line is, he meant to give him the money from the wine, and don't be so medactic on the wording. Nevertheless, he would take it out to, he has to be killed. He's not being medayek. We never say kuta shayur. What exactly meant this? So now the Mishnah goes on to tell us other scenarios of a person authorizing gittin in very extenuating circumstances. Mishaya mushlach labor. If a person was thrown into a pit, so he's screaming out from the pit. He says, anyone who can hear me up there, so please write a get for my wife. He identifies who he is. You hear a voice. Says, I'm Reuben ben Yaakov, and my wife, Sarah Bas Avraham, please go ahead and write a get for her. So such a person, whoever hears, is considered to be authorized, even though they weren't authorized specifically, but he gave a general authorization, anyone who hears my voice. So anyone can write the get, and anyone can deliver the get. Clearly, the person's stuck in the bottom of the pit, so he means it seriously, he wants his get to be given. So now the Gemara asks just a couple of technical questions. How do you know who he is exactly? You can't see him. You're hearing a voice from underground. So Valecha Shem Ashedu. Mar says maybe it's a demon, a shade, something. I'm really about the details of the of who the shadim are, but maybe it's not really this person. So Amr Yehuda Kisharolo Demus Adam. They can see that it's a person. They can see he looks like a person. They can't make out who it is, but he's yelling and screaming what his name is. So that's authorization. So it says the Gemara Inu Nami Idmu. So a shade again. Remember, it means we're not quite sure. Well, a shade also may appear to look like a person. So the Chazalei Bavua, so where it says that you can see that this image down there in the bottom has a little bit of a shadow to him. So Inunami is the Bavua. So the shades also have shadows. So the Chazalei Bavua di Bavua. So he says you can see they have a shadow of a shadow. Again, I have no idea, honestly. I don't consider myself to be a book in the intricacies of Shadim. The Rambam has this famous comment where the Rambam writes that there are no Shadim. Shadim don't really exist. So a lot of Rishonim asking around, but the Gemara does talk about them. I said there are cases that the Gemara talks about. We don't really understand. So it's hard for us. One of the areas that we're not quite sure, and certain areas is better to talk less about that we don't know too much about. So comes the Gemara and says that Inu Nami Islu Bavua, so the Chazal Bavua Devur. Where says that they have a double shade. The Duma Inu Nami Islu, maybe Shadim also look like that. Rabbi Chanina Limdani Yenis and Bani said, I was taught the following. That bavua islu, bavua devua leislu. That the shadim don't have that. Whatever it is, this person is appearing to be a person. He's a human being. We don't have to worry about anything. So says the Gemara. Now more down to earth problem. Vidilma tsorehi. Maybe it's not the person himself. Maybe somebody who wants to get this wife into trouble. Who in the world would want to get this wife into trouble? Her co-wife. Let's say Reuben has two wives. He has Rachel and Leah. And they don't particularly like each other. We learned about this back in the second parak, that co-wives generally are not the best of friends. There's a reason why co-wives are called halacha tzoros, tzoros to one another. So says the Gemara, maybe this co-wife has this whole grandiose plan. She's trying to get her other wife, get the other wife divorced, but not really divorced. She's trying to get her to think that she's divorced. So she's going to play this whole game. She's going to go down into the pit, hire somebody to get into the pit, and to scream out, please divorce my wife. It's not really going to be the husband. It's all going to be a trick in order for somebody to send to get to the other one. The other one's going to remarry. And the husband's going to show up. Here I am, Baruch Hashem, alive and well. So the woman will end up to be have to leave her husband. So the Gemara says, come on. The Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Shmuel, B'shas HaSakona Kosev B'Roz Afim B'Shein Makirin. The Gemara says, it's possible, but very highly unlikely, very, very, unlikely such a plan happened. And therefore, we're in this situation of Shasa Sakona. The guy's in a pit. And Ibn al-Akhshir said, if he's not going to be accepted to authorize a get, then the get's never going to be given. The woman's going to end up either an aguna or a chalu or a revam or shuk, whatever the case. We want to make sure this get is done. So we're not going to be concerned with all these wild, crazy, alien of ourselves. And therefore, the mice been in the Mishnah stands. You can authorize again, even though you didn't actually see the person, but you heard his voice, and he seems to be identifying himself properly. So that would be okay. The Mishnah continues. Habari Shamar, a person who is well, and he said, Kisru get le ishti. And he just authorizes people to write a get for his wife. So as we learned before, if you're only authorized to write the get, then you have no right to give the get itself, to actually administer the get, unless there was some situation where it was clear for the context that that's what the husband's intention was. So the person is perfectly healthy and he says, Kisru get le ishti, what's in a sahikba? Then he can you can make a joke out of it. So, I authorized the writing of the get. But I didn't authorize the giving of the get. And Daka, the person who wrote the get, has no right to give the get. Ma'isim Bariyachar, once it happened, there was a person who seemed to be perfectly healthy. Sha'amakis would get ishti. He authorizes to write a get. And then the only Rosh Hagag. And then shortly afterwards, this husband walked up to the roof, the Nafal Meis, and now he fell off of the roof. And now it's a little bit of a psychological question. We have to try to ascertain what was his state of mind at the time that he said to write the get. So if never he was suicidal at the time that he literally fell off the roof, because he didn't fall from it, he jumped off the roof. If that's the case, so then clearly he meant to give the get, because we've said before that whenever it's a context, when it's clear that's what his kavanah is, he's very sick, or he's going off into the desert, he's afraid he's going to die. So if this guy knows that he's about to kill himself, and he wants to authorize to give me the get, so then that's probably what he meant to do. But if he just tripped, he fell off the roof. It was an accident. It wasn't that he attached to kill himself. So then he's a regular, normal person, suffered a tragedy. And his statement of Ksivas Haget doesn't mean anything because he never authorized the giving of the get. So I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Shimon Gamliel says we have to look as best as we can to try to reconstruct the facts. If he fell off himself, he jumped off the roof, so then it's considered to be a get. If it's just the wind blew him off, that means he tripped on something, an accident happened, he got blown off the roof, so then he was a regular healthy person at the time, so then that statement to give a get, to write a get was not buying, therefore the get is not chal. So this is my solicitor. First, we said outright that if you have a person who's a bari, just authorizes to write a get, that's not acceptable to give the get. So that was the statement. And then we brought a story to contradict it. Then we just immediately bring a story where sometimes it would be valid. So the question is, no, there's a little bit of a line missing. Chasur mechs machitani. What the Mishnah means is you have to add a little bit of a line to the Mishnah. If all of a sudden something happens a moment later that makes us re-evaluate what happened earlier, and then we realize the person was, in a sense, about to die, then the get would be chal of ma'aseh nami, and in fact, that case happened. The barish ama kisvu get l'ishti, for all of Rosh Hagag v'nafel l'meis, the case that the Mishnah records. So the Amr of Shimon Gamliel, the Shimon Gamliel said, if I atz v'nafel, what we said before the Mishnah, if he fell himself, then he never killed himself, so then I raise a get, then the get would be valid. If a ruach t'chaso, if the wind blew him over, it was an accident, then ain't no get. Now he tells another story about trying to figure out who was or wasn't authorized to supervise the get. How Gavra, a person came in the al the Beit Knishta. He walks into the basic guys, into the shul. So Ashkach Makri Yinuka Ubrei Diyasve. So he sees in the shul that there are two people there. There's the Makri Rubi, there's the Rebbe who's teaching the children. So the Chayd is taking place in the shul. So the Rebbe is teaching the children is there. And the son of the Rebbe is there, the Yasvi, the city. The Yasin Inish Acharina Gabayu. And there's a third person there as well. And Amaluhu, and he gives the following order. Says, two of you are authorized to go write a get for my wife. Now, it's not clear who exactly they authorized. So he didn't authorize all three. He authorized two out of the three. That would be okay. The problem was, is that Lesov Shachiz Machri Yanuka. Then a few minutes later, the Rebbe was teaching the children. He died. And now the two people that were left were the stranger and the young son. The young son was over by mitzvah. So the question the Gemara has is, what did the person mean? When the person appointed two out of the three people, Mimashru Inche Barash Shalicha B'machal Abba, would a person appoint a son to be a shaliach if the father is present? That means most probably that when the person gave the tzibah, he's looking at three people, he's probably talking to the two adults, to the two older people. So he probably didn't mean to be a mamad of the 13-year-old kid in the place of his father. So now that the father died, so now there's only one person left who was actually appointed. So under no circumstance can a poor person write again if he wasn't appointed. He knew so. So here it's unclear what the appointment was. So do we say that a person would appoint the son also in the place of the father? Oh, look. Or maybe that's not practical. He wouldn't really do that. If he wouldn't do that, then the son, the young teenage boy, is not authorized to write this get. So Rav Nachman Amar Lo Mashu Inchi Brush Nichum Makam Abba. So a little bit of a psychological question: what would a person's mindset be? So Rav Nachman said he doesn't think that a person would do such a thing, and therefore the young boy is not really authorized. For a puppy, I'm a mashrin, she brushed him, says, yeah, it would work, it's okay. You don't have to be worried about that. And he said two people, he didn't say exactly which ones, he didn't specify that dafka that person, any two of the three would be acceptable. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, in fact, that hilchasan, that is the final halacha, like a puppy, that mashrin, she brushed him, yeah, that would be okay. That is a valid way of authorizing shlichus. You didn't say right, so at least they would have the right to do kisvu. And then the question is, again, if it was a shkibirah kind of a setup or something, so then they would have the right to do tenu as well. If it wasn't, so then they would only be able to do kisvu. They would have to wait for the final authorization. So the bottom line is a theme that's been emanating from our entire sugya is that the difference between kisvu and tenu, that if you just appoint somebody to be kosev again, that's what you appoint the person to do. You can't do it anymore unless it's obvious from the context that the kisvu is going to lead to a to-do as well. So now the next Mishnah begins with a whole elaborate scenarios of If a person talks to two people, talks to three people, can they pass over to somebody else? Can one shliach make another shliach? Can one beis din make another shliach? So from that, we'll start with the intricacies of this and the next.